This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.
Joey, good afternoon. How the heck are you?
I'm doing pretty well. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great. It's good to hear from you, and congratulations on the All-Star nod. How's that make you feel?
Yeah, that's it's obviously awesome to be named an All-Star for the second time. You know, I wanted to prove that I could do it more than once. You know, every time they'd say, you know, everybody can do it one time. See if you can do it again. So it's pretty cool to be named an All-Star again. And 2 weeks ago, I definitely did not think I was going to be an All-Star. But, you know, you get hot and things can happen.
Joey, with you now being the second time around, is there something that you're going to go back and say, you know what, I missed this the first time around, and kind of maybe enjoy it a little more, take in the sights? I'm sure that was just a whirlwind on your first time there. Is there something you're looking forward to your second time around here?
Yeah, you know, I think the first time it was like you said, it was a whirlwind, and you're just happy to be there. You're kind of, everything's moving so quick. I remember when I got into the game, I was like shaking, like, please God, don't hit me a ball, man. I don't want to mess up. You feel like there's so much media, there's so much attention on it, that you kind of get a little nervous. I think this year I'll be a little bit more relaxed, you know, in that environment, and understand like, hey, this is fun, and just to enjoy it a little bit more, and probably take a little bit more pictures. I feel like I had no pictures from the first time I went. But I think the coolest part is just being around like so many great players and taking that opportunity to, you know, get guys to sign some stuff for you, you know, take pictures with them, talk to them, pick their brain. So I think that's the coolest part, is just being around those superstar players for, you know, a couple days.
Now, do you physically go find people that you want to sign things, or do you do what I would do and send somebody? Like, I'm not trying to get embarrassed. What if they say no? Oh my God, this could be bad. Like, hey, you, sir, take this bat, take it to him.
So it's kind of funny. In the All-Star game, they have a bunch of stuff. If you want it signed by the team, you just put it on this table, and everybody goes through this table and signs it, and it takes about like 2 hours, so it's a lot of stuff. But if you want it individually signed, usually like you go up to them, you know, face to face, and like I did CC Sabathia in the 2019 All-Star game, went up to him, hey CC, you know, I'm a huge fan, man, you think if I send the jersey over, will you sign? Oh yeah, no problem. You know, he was so cool about it, you know, personalized it, got to authenticate it, and got it to me. So it's usually easier doing it in person. But, you know, when you're playing against somebody during the season, usually you have like a clubhouse guy run over to the other clubhouse, say, hey, you think this guy will mind if I buy a jersey, and he signs it for me? And they usually do it that way. So that's usually how you kind of take care of things in the season. But in the All-Star game, it's more face-to-face.
It's Joey Gallo with us. So you were drafted in 2012, right?
Yes.
Is there anybody still in baseball or that's going to be at this game that is – that's older than you, then, and like you looked up to him, or you were a fan of him, like CC Sabathia was in 19.
Oh man, I don't know. Honestly, I have to like relook at the rosters. I'm not sure. I feel like I'm a little old now. Now I'm 27. I feel like all the guys I looked up to, they're out of the game now. So that's a little scary for me. But yeah, I think. I don't know. I have to go over and look at these rosters again, honestly.
Well, you're still plenty young, and it's exciting to watch you playing baseball here these days. Was there an adjustment that you made 2 weeks ago? What do you think unleashed this for you?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think it's, you know, I felt really good all season. I was seeing the ball really well. I was getting on base at a, you know, very high clip. You know, for me, I think it was maybe missing a pitch in the zone if I got it. And, you know, that would end up, if I missed that pitch, it could end up to a walk, which is still productive at bat, but it's not a home run. And I think, you know, I felt like in the Minnesota series, I hit that huge home run, started getting that swing back of, you know, vengeance a little bit of doing damage. And then in Kansas City series, you know, I just, every time I swung the bat, the ball went out of the fence, went over the fence. I was like, all right, I might as well just keep swinging a little bit more. And then took it into Oakland. Good things kept happening. So it's just, that's the thing about baseball. You get hot and it's almost, you're just unconscious up there. You know, everything they throw, you hit, and it ends up going over the fence. So it was just kind of one of those streaks that happens. And I just kind of trust the process. You know, that's it. And just I knew at some point it would happen for me.
Joey, is the shift the most evil thing in baseball?
Mm. Yeah, dude.
I mean, what are they doing to you? It's like they've got 12 guys on one side of the field for you over there. What?
Yeah. What? Yeah, it's not fun. It's definitely something that I hope is talked about and changed, or at least limited a little bit. I know in Double-A they kind of changed the rules, and I remember David Dahl coming back from his rehab stint. He's like, man, it's so much easier to get hits up down there. You know, so that would be – I definitely wouldn't be a 220 hitter if there was no shift. I know that for sure. But it is what it is. I have to deal with it. But, you know, it's kind of tough when there's four or five guys standing in the outfield preventing you from hitting a double or a triple or anything else, and they'll – The only option I have is to hit a single to left field on the ground or a ball over the fence. So it makes it a little tough as a hitter, but you know that's the world we're in right now. Yeah. You kind of have to deal with it.
I mean, and you're such a skilled guy. And let me ask you this: when you take batting practice cuts, do you practice bunting just to kind of maybe think about keeping people? I mean, like when you get in the cage, you lay down like four or five just to kind of check angles and stuff like that when you're
practicing? No, all the time. I always start with bunts, and then when we hit off the machine right before the game too in the cage, sure. I always start with bunts too. Then you know, but there's time and place for it. You know, I actually have three or four bunt hits.
You do, yeah.
So it's like, you know, so I mean, I think I'm first on the team in bunt hits and probably top, kind of high up there in the league. But I can't do it every time.
Right,
you know,
right.
I mean, there's a lot of times they'll put a third baseman there until I get into an advantage count. And then, you know, 2-0 if I bunt, you know, they're going, what are you doing? Why are you bunting 2-0?
Right.
You know, or if I bunt with two strikes and I'm out, they're going, what are you doing? So they're smart now. I mean, they prevent you usually from bunting until it's a count that they wouldn't mind you bunting in. So that's what's kind of made it tough about the shift now is they're just really – there's really no way around it at this point, especially with bunting. So, you know, I just trying to swing it and see what happens.
When you do get a bunt single, as you're on your way to first base, is it somewhere closer to, fine, I'll take a single this way, or are you giggling?
Yeah, it's funny to me. I think it's funny, and it's always – the pitcher is always just like, God dang it. You know what I mean? I had a bunt single – against the Astros actually, and it was a guy who was, you know, pitching well against me, who I hadn't had much success against, and got a bunt down on him. I ended up like kind of getting to third base throughout the inning, and after the inning was over, you know, he kind of looked at me and he's like, hey, and I was like, oh shit, I think he's gonna get mad at me, you know, like he might, you know, he's like, what the hell, why are you bunting? And then he's like, hey, nice bunt, man. Like, he was, like, laughing, like, damn, nice bunt. Like, I respect it, you know. And I was like, thank you, you know, whatever. But it was just funny, like, you know, just from the pitcher's perspective, like, damn, all right. Like, it's respect, too. Like, you know, I think you're good. I'm going to bunt off you. I don't even want to swing type thing. So it's kind of funny how it works. But you're running down a line. It's just I like to listen to the crowd, too. It's kind of how they roar when you bunt, because a lot of people want me to bunt more.
It is pretty awesome to see. It's Joey Gallo here with you on your home of the Rangers. Now, are you still practicing your hitting inside the apartment like you did during the pandemic?
I actually do have the net set up. It's to the side right now. So on off days, I like to swing a little bit. So I usually just pull the net back out and set the tee up, hit some balls into the net, just try to keep that feeling going. And so I have been hitting a little bit in it, but not as much as I was obviously during the quarantine.
Joey, I mean, okay, you're one of the better defensive outfielders. I mean, Gold Glove outfielder. If you could have one, would you want better arm or the vision to see the ball off the bat? If you could have it, which one is more important to a Gold Glove right fielder?
Wow. I guess I would say the vision to see the ball off the bat.
Right.
Because it would be even if you have a good arm, you know, that really doesn't come into play a lot. Maybe once a series, once a week, do you really even get a true shot to throw somebody out? Because they know you have a good arm, so there's not going to be many guys running on you. So I'd say being able to read the ball off the bat and get good jumps, and that's helps you able to get to balls that you shouldn't be able to get to. So I think I'd go with that, because not many guys have elite arms. So a lot of goal glovers, they're fast, they get the balls that they shouldn't get to, and they save runs that way.
Okay, so Joey, I've contended that, like, with guys like you, it's always fun to watch the Phil Mickelson hitting bombs. It's always great to watch. But in baseball, my favorite play, and I want to say this was like in May against Houston, is when a ball goes into the air to right field and somebody who you know has a big arm, there's a guy on third base that you know is going to tag up. The anticipation and execution of that play, for me watching, is more fun than a home run. What's more fun for you, hitting a bomb or smoking somebody?
Throwing somebody out. Because it doesn't happen as much.
Right.
I remember that play in Houston, and it's like you can feel the energy. As soon as it hits you, it's like everybody's expecting me to throw this guy out. I have to catch this ball perfectly, transfer it perfectly, and throw it on a line perfectly, and throw this guy out. And it's happening in like slow motion because you're just waiting for this ball to get to you. And when it happens perfectly, like it did in Houston, it's unbelievable. It's fun to watch, and it's obviously fun to throw. But I remember in Houston that play. That was the game. They would have won the game. I remember thinking, I'm either going to throw this ball off the backstop, or it's going to be an absolute bullet on a line to the catcher's chest, and ended up being a bullet on a line to the chest. So it could have went either way there, but I was lucky enough to keep it down and give us a shot.
Now, Joey, once upon a time, you were a Hickory Crawdad. I don't mention any of the other minor league teams because I only like the teams with really cool names, and Hickory Crawdad is a good name. What was your favorite team you've played against? I started, in terms of the name, because I've started getting the hats. I like the minor league baseball hats.
Oh, man, names. Jeez, that was a while ago. there's some cool names out there now, man. That some of the names they're coming up with nowadays is ridiculous.
Yeah, the dumber the better.
Like that back in 2012, it wasn't as 2013, it wasn't as bad. I forget what the Charleston, they're the Sea Dogs or something.
River Dogs.
River Dogs, yeah, that was a cool one. I thought that was a really cool name. There's so many cool ones. The Biscuits, Montgomery Biscuits.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
I remember growing up buying that hat just because there was a biscuit on the hat. I was like 10 years old.
Yeah.
Didn't even know what the hell it was, but it was like, all right, like I'm getting this hat. It's Montgomery Biscuits, it's a double A team. Yeah, so, I mean, the names in the minor leagues is awesome. People need to look out for that more and go out and buy some of those hats. There's some cool stuff out there.
I keep Googling Joey Gallo Home Run Derby expecting to see the news that you're in this thing. It seems like a no-brainer. What are you hearing? What are you thinking?
I don't know yet. I guess we'll just have to play it by ear and see what happens. I'm not sure. I haven't heard anything. We'll have to see. I saw Matt Olson came out, and he said he's in it, so congratulate him. That's pretty cool, but I don't know yet. I guess we'll have to wait and see.
You haven't been in – so if you're invited, you want to do this?
I think I'd be down to do it, yeah.
Okay, everybody tag MLB on Twitter. Like, what the hell are you doing, MLB? Joey wants to hit bombs. Let's go.
We want to see the bombs,
especially,
man.
Especially in Colorado's air. That would be fun, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think for me, it's you'd think that's a pretty good fit. Colorado's probably a fun place to – we hit BP there earlier this year, and it was definitely a fun place to hit BP. So I think it's one of those parks that would be – it's going to be a cool – and a great show for the fans because balls are going to be going, so far, like we're hitting on the moon pretty much. So, it should be a good show. So we'll see. Hopefully we'll see if I can get in it.
Well, Joey, Jeff and I were in the stadium the other night against Kansas City, and the ball that Salvador Perez hit that went to the cutout that Garcia ran down, I thought there was going to be a massive collision. Right there in the outfield. What was going through your head at that time? I mean, you see where the ball's going. He sees where the ball's going. You're like, oh, please don't let us collide out there. He made a heck of a kind of a basket catch out there in at that cutout area.
Yeah, that was a hell of a play by him. I think for me, it's I have some chemistry now with Garcia. So, like, you know, when you play outfield, you have to develop a little bit of chemistry playing alongside somebody. We both know the gaps are really big. So every ball in the gap, I mean, we're going for it because we feel like there's a shot that's going to stay in the park.
Right.
And I remember running towards that, and I'm thinking in my head, like, okay, I know he's a big friggin' linebacker-looking dude. I'm a big dude. We're both running full speed for this. Let's see. And I remember kind of like looking down at the last second to see where he was at, and I saw he was a little bit closer to us, so I tried to pull up away from him, and he ended up catching it, and like I just missed running into him. So it happens in baseball a lot, man. You just have to be careful out there. But he's a center fielder, so at the end of the day, like, he has priority. If he looks like he's going to make a play on a ball, I have to back off. That's my role. So I feel like we've developed like a really good, like I said, a chemistry out there where we don't even sometimes have to talk, and we can see who's going to make a play on a ball and who's not.
Joey, great stuff. We'd love to keep these conversations going for some years, if you don't mind. Any progress to speak of on an extension or any news on that front from your perspective?
No, I mean, I haven't heard anything. You know, obviously, I'd love to stay. I love Texas. I love playing for the Rangers, and I love doing interviews with you guys. So hopefully I'll be here for a lot longer. But you'll have to get the more important guys, the front office guys, on the phone for an interview and ask them and see what they have to say. Because unfortunately, it's not up to me. But you know, obviously, I'd love to play in Texas for a long time.
Yes, sir. We'd love it too. Give them hell out there. We'll be pulling for you.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.